morning, Midland First. What a gift it is to be with you this morning. What a gift it is to worship our God, and what a gift it is to celebrate this, the end of the semester and the graduation season and our graduates. We have some announcements for you. The first announcement we have is from Claire Snyder about the Blessing Box.
I want to quickly talk about the blessing box that our church has. It is regularly stocked with personal hygiene and non-perishable items. If you would like to donate, they're always welcome, and you can drop them off in the church's office. Thank you.
Good job. And then we have an announcement from Lena on the youth fundraiser money.
Okay, so of the money that we raised from the roll bake and the pancake supper, half of it's going to the Sunday friendship lunch and the other half will be going to the blessing box. This was decided by the youth.
Good morning. My name is Pat McElvenna, and I just want to tell you about a little short story. In 2012, a mother and high school art teacher went on a mission trip to Tennessee with some youth at Auburn United Methodist Church. And during that time, she thought to herself, I've seen so many people suffering in our own community back in the Tri-Cities. Why aren't we doing mission work there? And so she told me when I was on the trip, hey, I'm going to start a mission trip, a remission project for people to do in our area. And sure enough, she did. And in 2013, One Week, One Street was born. And since that time, they have improved 299 homes. They have cleared 34 vacant lots, repaired 105 porches, replaced 9 roofs, and cut or trimmed over 106 trees. And they consistently have an average of 140 volunteers every single day during that week. This time, this year, our church is supporting this, as we have done from the very first week of One Week, One Street. It'll be the last week of June, the 23rd through the 27th. I think the information is up there for you. And it's on Maplewood Avenue this year is our week. So I would highly encourage you to come. This is a great way. We can contribute money, which we do, to many different good organizations. But we can contribute our hands and our feet and our labor in such a great and wonderful way to these people. We're right there with the people working, helping them with their homes, helping improve the community that they live in. It is a wonderful effort. So I would encourage each of you, if you can, please join us that week. You can come for all 5 days, Monday through Friday. You can come for just a morning or an afternoon or a couple days, whatever you want. We really appreciate all your help. This year, we would like, if possible, to find someone who's got a pickup truck that could be there every day. Even if it's a different person each day, a pickup truck's very helpful to what we do. So please join us. If there is a place you need to go this year, please make it One Week, One Street.
Good morning. I'm here on behalf of the STEP ministry team. And several years ago, we started a tradition in our church of participating in the Memorial Day Parade. And the Memorial Day Parade is one of only two parades in Midland each year, and the other one is the Santa Parade. And so we are going to, again this year, walk and pass out Vacation Bible School postcards and pass out candy, of course. And then we'll also have a welcome station right in front of the church where folks who are watching the parade can stop by and cookies and lemonade. And then it's also an opportunity for folks to watch the parade together. And so two opportunities for the Memorial Day Parade. You could walk with us, which is open to everyone, including your dog, well-behaved dog. we would be meeting at 9:15 right over here at the Larkin doors to put our candy together. We put our First United Methodist Church shirts on, and we get have a prayer before we go over and get ready for the Memorial Day parade walking. So that would be one way to participate. You could walk with us. The route is straight up Main Street and up Rod, ending at King's Daughter's home. And the other thing you could do is just come out and watch the parade. If you've never been to it, it is a really, really wonderful parade. A great way and a great community effort to honor Memorial Day and those who gave their lives in the name of freedom for our country. So Memorial Day is just around the corner, and you are more than welcome to participate. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. And then I have one more announcement for you. There will not be Wednesday Bible study this week, and so it will resume the following week. And now we will have our time of greeting, and Alec and Violet will ring the bell to bring us back together. And I ask that you remain standing for the call to worship afterwards.
God gave us a gift when we believed in Christ.
God gives us a gift of the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth.
God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life.
Grace to the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life.
As we sing our opening hymn, found on 2221, in the faith we sing, or on the screen, in unity we lift our song.
Thank you.
children to come on up. Morning. So, friends, we are, we're going to have our children's blessing, but first I want to tell you a little bit about this morning. Did you notice Claire was up in the, that high part, helping us lead worship this morning? So this is a special Sunday at our church, and it's a Sunday where we get to recognize, congratulations and honoring and saying, wow, great job, for people who are graduating. And graduating means that you're finishing up with one thing and you're getting ready to start another thing. And so can you turn around and notice Abby? And she's wearing a special gown and she's wearing a special cap. And then turn around over here and notice Tyler. He's not wearing a special gown or a special cap, but he's graduating too. Both of these guys are finishing up one thing and getting ready to start another, and that's a really big deal. So we have some young people helping to lead our worship today, and we're really thankful for that. Also, I want to show you this, and now we'll get ready to have our blessing. This is the order of worship that people use to kind of follow along for church. And when I saw this a couple days ago, I thought, whoa, wonder where they found that picture on the internet. But they didn't find it on the internet. It was drawn.
When I actually saw the base.
Oh, you saw the base?
Because the person who drew it is my aunt.
Ah, so Kira drew this, and Kira goes to Dow High, and she illustrated our lesson today, guys. This is what we're going to study in Bible school. All right, so let me tell you a teeny bit about what we're going to do, and then we'll have a prayer. So we're going to study a dream that God sent to Peter. It was kind of like a vision. And
it's when Peter's in prison?
Not that part, but it's the part where Peter was teaching a whole bunch of people about Jesus, but he was mostly teaching Jewish people about Jesus. Yeah, but God wanted Peter to tell everyone about Jesus, not just the Jewish people. He wanted Peter to tell everyone, so he gave Peter a special vision, like a dream. And there were a ton of animals in this dream and a white sheet. And it seemed to be coming, down from heaven. And Peter realized, wait a sec, this isn't about animals. This is about people. That Jesus is for everyone, not just people who were Jewish. And Jesus wants that for us to understand today, that Jesus is for everyone. Boys and girls and older people and younger people. And people who make mistakes, and people who don't make as many mistakes, that's what God was wanting Peter to understand way back in the Bible times. So when you see this picture that Kira drew, we'll think about that a little bit more when we go to Sunday school today, okay? Congratulations to Abby and to Tyler, and thank you to all the youth who are helping us today. So let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, help us live by the words that we can find in Acts 11:12. The Spirit told me to go with them and to not make any distinction between them and us. Let us welcome and love everyone like you do, like you love everyone, and like you taught us. Amen. All right, let's go to Sunday school.
Thank you. Indeed, our youth have had a large hand in planning this service and leading this service, and we are so proud of them. And now I'd like to invite the scholarship team forward to present our awards this morning.
Good morning. I'm Jeannie Fiore, and I'm representing the scholarship committee along with Warren Youngel and Chris Gorowski. Other members of our team are Pat Seiden and Amy Roach. and Pastor Bethany facilitates our team. So as Amy Fisher mentioned, of course, Grad Sunday, we're recognizing all the graduates, but especially we have some scholarships that are annually awarded from the Midland First United Methodist Church. Today we will recognize two recipients, and these awards are given to recognize students with outstanding character, academics, and service to church, school, or community. So when I call your name, I'd like you to come forward, please. First, we're going to recognize Abigail Warren. You can applaud her. Abby is a member of Midland First United Methodist Church, and she's graduating from Midland High School. She plans to attend Michigan State University to study civil engineering. And next, please come forward. We recognize Ian Clemens. Ian is a member of Midland Free Methodist Church and is graduating from Midland High School. He plans to attend Anderson University to major in mechanical engineering and minor in Christian ministry. And this next one's not a scholarship really that's given to a graduating or a student necessarily. It's an award that's given in memory of Dee Dee Dicker. And it's given to a young person who exhibits the traits, like Dee Dee, of seeking out friendships, encouraging or bringing joy to others, helping or comforting others. And this year's recipient is Claire Klein. Would you please come forward? And then finally, we're happy to take this opportunity to say congratulations to Tyler Morse. Can you step up? As Amy mentioned, he's also a graduate. He's earned his master's in music, choral conducting from Oakland University, and we're very proud of him for reaching this milestone, and we're just thrilled that he's here to share his talents with our choirs, so thank you. So stick around, enjoy some cake after the ceremony when we can maybe speak directly to these folks in the parlor, and God's blessings to you all as you begin your next life adventure.
Yes, indeed. Congratulations. beautiful. Thank you so much. And now we come to a time of offering. If the ushers would come forward, please. And while the offering plates are being passed, if you would please sign the red friendship pads in your pews, we would appreciate it. We like to know who's here, and we like to get to know our neighbors. And if you'd like to look at that red friendship pad as it's being passed back to you, maybe get to know someone that you might not know who's sitting in the pew next to you.
He got here red and wrinkled, scared and crying. Then she took him up and held him to her breast. And he sure was glad to get what Mama offered. Then he went to sleep and put his fears to rest. It didn't seem to matter what he needed. He could always count on Mama to supply. And regardless of the sleep she might be losing, he always found a twinkle in her eye. There ought to be a hall of fame for mamas, creation's most unique and precious pearls. And heaven help us always to remember that the hand that rocked the cradle rules the world. She taught him all the attributes of greatness that she knew he couldn't learn away from home. And by the time she wore the cover off her Bible, her hair was gray and her little man was gone. There ought to be a hall of fame for mamas, creation's most unique and precious pearls. And heaven help us always to remember that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Yes, the hand that walks the cradle rules the world.
God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for every good gift that you give us, truly all that we have to give is all that we've already been given. Use these gifts to your honor and glory and for our good. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'll be reading today's scripture, Acts 11, 1 through 18. Soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judah that the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. "You entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them," they said. Then Peter told them exactly what had happened. "I was in the town of Joppa," he said, "and while I was praying, I went into a trance and saw a vision. Something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. When I looked inside the sheet, I saw all sorts of tame and wild animals, reptiles, and birds. And I heard a voice say, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat them.' 'No, Lord,' I replied. 'I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean.' But the voice from heaven spoke again, 'Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean.' This happened three times before the sheet and all it contained was pulled back up to heaven. Just then, three men who had been sent from Caesarea arrived at the house where they were staying. The Holy Spirit told me to go with them and to not worry that they were Gentiles. These six brothers here accompanied me, and we soon entered the home of the man who had sent for us. He told us how an angel had appeared to him in his home and had told him, 'Send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He will tell you how you and everyone in your household can be saved.' As I began to speak," Peter continued, "the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, "We can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting their sins and receiving eternal life." This is the word of God for the people of God.
I invite you, as we go into the parlor, not only to greet our graduates and congratulate them, but also to offer words of encouragement to our youth as they are leading in worship today. Thank you, Abby, for reading the scripture this morning. It was beautiful. I took a page from Dr. Seuss's book for the title of my sermon this morning, "Oh, the Places You'll Go." Appropriate not only for the graduates, but for all of us. On Thursday morning this past week, it struck me that it was the 2-year anniversary of the day that DS Reverend Casper had called me and said, "We have an appointment we would like for you to prayerfully consider." I remember where I was, what I was doing, and who I was with when he called. It was a great evening of dinner with friends at the end of a long semester. Friends who know me deeply and had been praying for me as I awaited this phone call to know the place that I would go and the people that I would get to love. Our passage from Acts this morning recounts when Peter was sent from Joppa to Caesarea to the house of a man named Cornelius, who was a centurion of the Roman army. Historically, the Gentiles are known for being those who are outside the Jewish faith and the Jewish tradition, which included having food laws regarding what they were and were not allowed to eat in order to keep themselves pure. This passage, beginning at the first verse of chapter 11, begins as a recounting of what took place in Caesarea when Peter went down to Cornelius after he'd had a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven in which the Lord showed Peter several animals, which Jews are not allowed to eat because they were impure, and he said to Peter, "Kill and eat." This occurred right before two men came to Peter and asked him to accompany them. Peter certainly never expected such a thing. If we look back at chapter 10, verse 2 says this about Cornelius. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. The next verse tells us that Cornelius had a vision in which an angel instructed him to summon for Peter in order to hear his message. The message that the Lord wanted to share with Cornelius, who had given much to God already, but still had much to gain that he knew nothing about. It was against the law for Peter to enter the house of a Gentile and to associate with Cornelius like he did. But Peter did so because the Lord told him to. Oh, the places the Lord was taking Peter and Cornelius and the church universal. Our text tells us that Peter had this vision as he was in prayer. It tells us that the sheet was let down from heaven by its four corners. God was very much the initiator of what it was that he was calling Peter into. This new thing. That's an important detail because God is the greatest thing in all the universe that can be thought or known. We learn something about who God is and who we are when we consider how God gave Cornelius a vision and led Peter to go into his house. You see, God used Peter to proclaim salvation through Jesus Christ alone to the Gentiles. That's us, too. We're Gentiles. We today are blessed to know a God who loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us on a cross. In part, because of Peter's preaching to Cornelius and his family, we have the privilege and the responsibility of carrying it to others. We've been gifted with a grand adventure with these lives we live. When I look back on the decisions and choices that brought me to where I am today, especially these last 2 years of getting to be one of your pastors, I'm humbled and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the moments in which I have encountered the Lord in new and different ways. Ways that I never expected, and in places that were new to me. As each of you here today who are graduating look forward to the future, each of you will have new experiences that you can't yet anticipate. I'm sure every older adult in this room could tell you about instances in their lives, some big and some small, that they didn't anticipate, some that were life-changing. Our text today tells us that Peter did not want to kill and eat the animals, even though God instructed him to do so. Three times Peter had this vision from heaven with the animals on the sheet coming down from heaven, and the instructions were the same each time. We can trust that no matter where we go in life, as long as we go with God, the places we go will be a blessing to us, and we will have the opportunity to be a blessing. As we carry the gospel, the good news, with us, we will be radically changed to look more like the one who created us. If we allow ourselves to acknowledge the living God in every place, we are never, ever outside of his presence. There is nowhere we can go that he is not. And as long as we stay close to the source of our lives, we have nothing to fear. I was asked this morning, based on my sermon title, where my favorite place is that I've ever gone. And that place is Krakow, Poland, which is very much around the world from where we are. And yet, God was there with me, and he will be with you wherever you go. And we have the Holy Spirit, just as the first disciples did. Every new experience we have, whether it's going away to college, starting something new with a big life transition, or even just picking up a new hobby that you've never done before, God invites us to draw closer to who he is by saying yes to the invitation of living out our salvation, living out the life that God has given us by walking in his ways and living life in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." The conversion of Cornelius, the man to whom Peter went, wasn't just about food laws or about any other kind of law. It was so much deeper than that. It was about knowing who God really is and what his will is. His will that stretched far beyond one man's family, and that God took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ for us, so that we can be radically transformed into his image and become all that we were created to be. Walking in step with the Spirit and becoming more like God every day, even on the hardest days. We all face them, and every one of us has hard days for a myriad of reasons. And graduates, perhaps you have finished school now and you're thinking about the future, anticipating what those might be. Perhaps you have mixed emotions about graduating. And if you do, that's okay. And if you don't, that's okay too. Either way, God is present and desires for you to lean in. To lean into him and his deep love for you. To be honest about whatever it is you're feeling today. As Peter remembered John the Baptist in the River Jordan, and how John was baptizing, the Holy Spirit will help you to remember what it is that you need to know when you need to know it. He's always speaking to us and inviting us to hear what he has to say. He wants to be in relationship with us and continually draw us to himself. Because we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And that comes with power and confidence to bravely face any unknown situation with courage, because we know that we are never, ever alone. He wants for others to know that too. Every day is a new day, and God's mercies are new every morning. And every day is a new adventure and a new opportunity with God to go into the places he's calling us to go, whether they are familiar or unknown. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the people we know and the people we have yet to meet. Grads, college can be a time when your faith is challenged, when you get to wrestle with what it is you believe or don't believe. I invite you, along with everyone in the congregation, to face your questions head on, to face your doubts head on, because God is big enough to hold them, and He will meet you there, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. His love is much stronger than any question or any doubt that you could ever think of. You'll meet people along the way who will challenge your faith. You'll have circumstances in which you will cry out to God as you wrestle. You can trust God to lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And by still waters, even in the midst of hard seasons. He will lead you just like He did Peter, even though Peter didn't know why he was going to see Cornelius. What ended up happening is the truth that and the life that is found only in Jesus Christ was brought to more and more people. The last two verses of our passage today, Acts chapter 11, verses 17 and 18, they say this: "And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift He gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, "We can see that God, who has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life." What a gift. What a beautiful gift that we get to have and that we get to give away. The gift of eternal life and the repenting of our sins. That is good news indeed. Good news that the world needs to hear. It's what the world is searching for. Every place you go, grads and congregation, go with God. Intentionally, go with God. Invite Him into your everyday. Invite Him into each moment with you. He is life itself, and He is joy and peace. And He will teach you all truth as you walk with Him, in joyful seasons and in hard seasons. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for the ways that You love us. Thank You for who You are and the gifts that You give. We thank You for the opportunity to celebrate the provision You give us in our lives and the joys that come with completing something we've worked very hard to do. I pray that You would bless each of our graduates and our scholarship recipients. May the opportunities that they have be open doors to share Your love with the world in a context that is new to them, but that is a gift. Lord, thank You for our youth who have led in worship this morning. May they be encouraged by the example that the graduates have set before them, and for the ways that you are using them in this season of life. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on each person within the sound of my voice. I pray that each of us would know the love that surpasses knowledge and be rooted and grounded in this more deeply, so that we can go out into the world and be your hands and feet for a world that is broken and hurting. May you inspire us to use the gifts and the skills that we have to walk alongside and to bring your message of hope and healing. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church today and for those who cannot worship as freely as we do. We ask you to protect them and provide all that they need. Give them courage to worship you, even when it's hard. And give us courage, oh God, to go where you call us to go and to do what you call us to do, even when it's outside our comfort zone. I thank you for the way that you are at work in our hearts, stirring us to greater faith in you, to deeper faith in you. May it be so. I pray that you would help us to know your voice as individuals and as a congregation. You are the good shepherd and we are your sheep, and the sheep know your voice. May we continually grow to hear better and better with each passing day. Thank you for the beauty that you are and for the beauty that you've created. Draw us deeper into your abiding love each and every day. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear right where we are in our circumstances. Because you meet us where we are, and you want us to walk closely with you in everything. You want us to come to you with everything that is on our hearts. It's a privilege for us to get to pray to you. We thank you for that privilege. We thank you that you hear every word we speak aloud and in our hearts. And we thank you for the privilege that it is to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Our closing hymn this morning is "Bind Us Together," and it's found on page 2226 in "The Faith We Sing." And so I invite us to sing together. Before I give the benediction, I would like to ask and invite the congregation to wait after I give the benediction. I'm going to invite the graduates to process out with me after the benediction, and the postlude will begin to play. And the postlude this morning is Pomp and Circumstance. So I'd like to give the graduates the opportunity to process out as the postlude plays, and then invite you to greet them as you come into the parlor for cake. Receive these words. Oh, the places you'll go with God, no matter what season of life you're in. I invite you to trust in the one who has opened the way for all of us, who invites us in to his very life, to take his hand and to adventure with him, even though you don't necessarily know where you'll end up. And that's okay, because he is with us all the way. Go in the peace of God and with courage. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.